The opinions expressed here on the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast are solely those of the presenters, not the opinions of Cedarbrook Community Church or Mountain View Community Church.
This is Tim Ryan from West Shore Free Church in Mechanicsburg, PA, and you are listening to the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast with Steve Anderson and Matthew McCabe.
And we are back, Youth Ministry Sherpas, episode 59. Hey, everyone, I'm Matthew McCabe.
And I am Steve Anderson, and we are the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, helping youth workers to keep going.
And here we are coming to you live from the Sherpa studio. That is a complete lie. We have no studio. We have a mobile studio. We have recorded in my office. We have recorded in your office. We've recorded in your storeroom. We've recorded in... I don't know, where else have we recorded?
Planes, trains, and automobiles.
And now,
we've been everywhere.
We are recording.
I've been everywhere, man.
A little Johnny Cash. Yeah. Now we are recording live from Steve Anderson's dining room table. There's a lovely candle burning in the middle of the table. That was a nice touch today, Steve. And I'm staring at,
thanks,
I believe, senior pictures from your three boys that are right above you on the wall behind
which
you.
Which they keep requesting that we replace because they are those lame posed senior pictures,
I totally get it.
The one of Tim is so un-Tim, it's almost ridiculous.
Yeah, but they are what they are, and we all have that picture in our history that we wish would go away, but yet it's there.
Pictures have gotten so much better now.
Yeah, they have, but they're still posed and...
True.
And... not natural and crazy.
No, I lit a candle for you today because I just wanted to provide a little bit of atmosphere for us.
Yes.
You know, this is a very romantic...
It is not. Don't put that in there. Cut that out.
No, I lit a candle because our house always smells like dog.
Yeah.
We have two dogs and they tend to do things that contribute poor smells to the house.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah. If you go down in our basement, you're going to be like, oh...
I think I'm going to pass on the basement trip today, but thanks. And I appreciate the candle, although I am on the back end of this wonderful cold still, so right. I don't smell the dogs and or the candle yet.
Okay. Well, there it is burning.
Which I'm not, I don't love because I'm a smell guy.
You are a smell guy?
I am a smell guy.
Are you?
I think smell is an underrated of the senses.
You know,
we're all focused on touch and sight, but man, and hearing, but smell.
That's true.
So powerful.
It is.
And there are certain smells that I love. There are certain smells, obviously, that I am not a big fan of.
Don't they say that smell is the most powerful of the memories? Is that true?
You know what? It might be. I don't know.
I mean, can't you just smell like, I don't know, spaghetti sauce cooking or peanut butter cookies or whatever?
I know for me it's a very associated thing. In other words, I can smell something and it can literally take me back to an experience or a memory. And so, yes, I will agree then. Yes, it is the most powerful of the memory senses.
Which is going to lead to our episode today. But first, we have to interject the...
Sherpas.
Say what?
All right, Matthew. What do you got for me today?
Sherpas say what? I have for you an Australian couple that ordered a dress online. And a box came.
A couple ordered a dress.
Yes,
online.
This was a couple. I imagine it was for her.
Okay.
But they ordered a dress online, and a large package arrived at their home. And they thought, well, yes, obviously this must be the dress. And they opened it up, and they found what the wife thought was a mistake because she thought it was a whole bunch of decorative stones.
What?
Her husband was a little more concerned and investigated a little further and found that they had been sent 25,000 ecstasy tablets.
What?
Yes, they had been mistakenly sent a box of drugs. So the couple returned the package to the post office, and it was determined that there were 24,800 ecstasy tablets with an estimated street value of $550,000.
Oh, my goodness. Delivered by mail?
By mail. By mail. They got a package. They were expecting a dress, and they got $500,000 worth of illegal drugs.
How many ecstasy tablets?
24,800 ecstasy tablets.
What they didn't tell the authorities is there was actually 25,000 in the package.
Yeah, they kept 200.
They kept 200.
Yes, just in case. To see what was going on. But anyway.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I've gotten the wrong package from Amazon before, but this is next level stuff right here.
I know what I'm getting you for Christmas.
A dress?
Well, last year I sent you Clark Griswold.
Clark,
so,
Harkins,
I mean,
Clark.
Doesn't get much better than that.
Harkins Clark, yes. A cardboard cutout, full-size Clark Griswold.
Yes.
That now, because it's not Christmas, sits in our basement, which when I go down in the basement sometimes, I forget it's there. It's
you.
Quite startling.
That's so good.
Sherpa, Sherpa, Sherpa.
Say what? All right, you ready to get
today's
into today's
episode? What a great idea. Steve Anderson, this is a brilliant idea. All you, I'm all about it. The smells of youth ministry.
Isn't that a great topic?
Yes, because there are many smells.
There are many smells.
That are quite distinctive to what we do.
We have experienced many, many smells. And like we said, they bring you back to moments and memories because smell is powerful.
Very powerful.
Sometimes too powerful.
Yep, yep. For the positive and for the negative.
Correct.
But whether they're positive or negative smells, as we chatted offline here, they represent something.
They do.
They represent a memory. They represent a shared experience. And so the smells of youth ministry, whether good or bad, can be beautiful.
There are so many. We're going to share a bunch with you, and I know these, some of these are going to make you chuckle for sure. Some of them might bring a tear to your eye, hopefully.
We hope.
Yeah. Okay, man. Are you ready to roll?
I'm ready to roll.
All
What's
right,
our first smell?
Let's drop the first smell.
We have to start here.
We're going to go with the bathroom.
The bathroom at any youth ministry event you can think of.
Yes.
The bathroom.
Yes. Often on a trip. Or yeah. Something like that.
I'm thinking about bathroom at the retreat or on the missions trip.
Yes. Have you ever been on a missions trip where somebody got Montezuma's revenge and just took over the bathroom?
I cannot count on all of the fingers and toes that I have how many times I've been on a missions trip where somebody was in a bad place.
Yes. And so you follow them into that room and you are thinking to yourself, how many small animals have just been slaughtered in this
what
place?
It just is bad. Happened.
Bad. Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. And that could be from either end. I was trying to find a delicate way to put that.
No, you are absolutely correct.
But there are
You've experienced
smells.
Those, have you not?
I have experienced those on many occasions. And either way, it's a terrible smell.
It is.
But it represents something wonderful.
Does it?
Well, I think so. And most of those smells, I mean, the smells from the bathroom can come from Montezuma's revenge. We got sick. But they're also representative of lots of terrible food.
That's true.
That is often consumed.
That's true.
On said mission trips and or camps.
Yeah, it's not like we can always control our diet on these trips.
Correct.
So, you know, there's a lot of bad burritos out there. The world is filled with bad burritos.
Yes, there are lots of carb-enriched, cheap food that camps love to serve.
Yes, a lot of cheese.
To our students. And it produces an odor. But that odor represents beautiful things.
It does.
It represents time away. It represents camp. It represents mission trips. Yeah. And these are beautiful things.
Think about all the trips that you've been on where you had to eat bad food or somebody got sick, but the overall trip was just amazing right?
Amazing.
I mean, all those trips to Peru that you've taken, I'm sure there's been a lot of times where you've been standing with somebody in the bathroom while they're emptying their stomach. And, you know, that's a terrible moment.
Yep. Yeah.
But it represents you in that place kind of shepherding and loving that kid through the hardest of hard times.
Absolutely.
And you go into the bathroom at camp, and you're like,
you're
oh
overwhelmed.
My gosh, you're overwhelmed. But you are at camp. You have the opportunity to spend these weekends with these young men and women, influencing their lives and seeing God do such great things. And yeah, the food isn't always so great. Sometimes it's terrible, but it's representative of the opportunity you have to be in their lives.
Yep.
It's powerful.
Absolutely.
It's as powerful as the smell.
There's no way that you can't experience someone being sick in a foreign country
oh.
and help walk them through that and not have it change your relationship with them.
That's true.
For the long term. If you're holding some girl's hair back while she is vomiting her life away, that takes your relationship to the next level. There's just no two ways about it. So that smell, as terrible as it is, is also beautiful.
One of my best friends to this day, he's now one of my volunteers on our team. And when he was in college, we were in Peru, and he got it bad. He was in there for a good 24 hours off and on. I mean, it was bad. It was bad. But, you know, that was an opportunity to build that relationship.
Strengthen that relationship to the bond that can never be broken.
Yes. So we'll never forget that moment.
Yes.
We'll never forget that moment.
Nor will we ever forget
that smell.
That smell. All right. To the bathroom.
Yep.
Then we have the bunkhouse. And I'm thinking specifically here of a middle school boy's bunkhouse at the fall or spring or winter retreat.
Could you describe that smell for me, Matthew?
That mix of body odor that comes from middle school boys who are not yet fully developed in their hygiene.
And that's putting it very kindly.
I tried to. And the Axe body spray that they use to try to cover up the fact that they are not fully yet developed. Those two things meet and create an odor that was never known to mankind.
It's a chemical reaction.
I believe it could be nuclear.
It has been.
In nature. And that smell is so on point. I mean, there's nothing else like it in the world. You can't say like, oh, that's kind of like this smell. It is in a category of its own.
It's kind of like Chernobyl.
I've not been to Chernobyl, but I assume it's similar.
Yeah, you know, Axe is made to spray lightly, but middle schoolers think you have to empty the entire can to get any effect from it. It is incredibly overwhelming.
Yes, to see a middle schooler come to a weekend retreat with three bottles of Axe. No, that's supposed to last
that's
a lifetime. That's supposed to last a lifetime, not a weekend.
I'm thinking of a specific bunkhouse. We go to this place in Pennsylvania. It's our middle school camp. It's called Camp Orchard Hill. Shout out to Camp Orchard Hill. My very first retreat ever as a volunteer 30 years ago this winter was at Camp Orchard Hill.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And they've built some new bunkhouses, but they still have had some of the older bunkhouses. And the smell that develops in a room of 10 beds, maybe eight or 10 beds, middle school boys. I remember when I took my son up there when he was in middle school, and it was winter camp. His feet were in sneakers all day in the snow.
Preach.
And so by the end of the day, they were pruned up.
Yep.
I mean, it was disgusting. They looked like cadaver feet. You put that smell in the room with the Axe body spray, with the armpit body odor, with the flatulence that came from the cafeteria. I mean, you couldn't find five more toxic ingredients to place
in a
test tube than you can find in that bunkhouse. And the smell is just... it's overwhelming.
Right. Couple that with the fact that the bunkhouse is probably 40 years old.
Right.
And it has its own smells of its own.
Into the wood,
yes.
into the actual frames
former
of the bunks.
Have been left behind in the bunks.
Think how much dead skin there is in that place.
Oh, that's disgusting.
That's the bunkhouse. That's the middle school bunkhouse.
And that's the smell. But
isn't it a beautiful
smell
place?
Represents...
so much.
It represents... middle school kids, a work in progress.
A work in progress.
Undeveloped, but moving in the right direction.
When I think about those moments, and then I think about those specific kids and what they've matured into, what they've become, it blows my mind.
One of the joys of longevity to have known a moment of poignant smell with a middle schooler, and then to stand alongside them serving in your ministry with you when they're 25 or 27.
So when you smell that smell, and it just takes you back to when they were 12 years old, and you just wondered, what is going to become of this kid? This is driving me crazy, and their body odor is about to destroy my nostril hairs. And then they become something awesome.
Incredible. Something beautiful.
Yeah. I just think the bunkhouse represents so much. And I'm going back, you know, and I'll smell it again. And we have our fall retreat coming up, and that place, man, there have been retreat weekends where it's rained the whole weekend. I remember one year where it literally poured the entire weekend. And so the camp activity shifted from what we had planned to mudslides. And so kids were running and flying down this hill in the mud for hours. Then we took all of those clothes back to the bunkhouse.
Of course.
Why sat around wet for hours for the next day.
Just teeming. Can you imagine? Just seething. Just getting ready to release things that could kill a normal human being.
Again, those smells have seeped into the carpet on the floor of that bunkhouse. Never to be dismissed. It's worse than death.
Yes, but it represents
so much.
So much. So much beauty.
Yeah.
The van.
The church van.
The church van. The 15 passenger van you rent from Enterprise. Some van that you cram a bunch of people into and then close up all the windows and drive somewhere.
So think of a trip, Matthew. Can you give me an example of a trip you went on, and it was basically fueled by fast food.
Yes. So for several years, our middle schoolers would drive via 12 and 15 passenger van from here to Chicago. So 10, 11 hours of driving to work with Jesus People USA, Japuza. I had some connections there, and that was our middle school mission trip. But you're talking about 11 hours en route in a van with middle schoolers, boys and girls, but middle schoolers.
You weren't stopping at Salad Works.
No,
were you?
Yeah, no, we stop. You know, it's Taco Bell, and then it's Burger King, and then it's Sheetz, and then it's the gas station, and of course, you know, they had trouble paying for the mission trip, but they got $400 of Sheetz money, you know, gas station money to go, and so you have this, you have the stale. Just kind of stale air of a van.
Right.
Filled with then all of the things that come from gas station hot dogs and Flaming Hot Cheetos and, you know, Mountain Dew Surge or whatever it is that they walk out of there with.
Yeah.
It's a cacophony of odors, as it were.
Have you ever been to Yellowstone?
I have.
You know, with the bubbling mud pots?
Oh, yeah,
with
absolutely.
The smell of the sulfur bubbling up out of the earth. That's what it's like.
Yeah, yeah.
How much sulfur is in a Taco Bell burrito?
My wife, I don't know. And Taco Bell, we apologize for this right now. Cancel that sponsorship request we sent you. No, my wife and I stayed at the Old Faithful Lodge one time.
Cool.
For 24 hours. We smelled like sulfur for days afterwards. So
that's the smell that exists in the church van.
Absolutely.
When you're on a road trip with a bunch of kids. But what does it represent?
It represents time together.
Yeah.
It represents shared experiences. It represents travel, adventure.
Right.
So much stuff. Those trips to Chicago were phenomenal. Those 11 hours were brutal, but yet beautiful.
Yes.
Because they got us to where we were going, and they were filled with incredible conversations and laughter. Just uncontrollable laughter.
It's so great.
Yes.
One time I sat back and I tried to calculate the number of nights that I'd spent away as a youth pastor.
Mm.
This is a while ago. I got over a full year.
Wow.
And this was a while ago. So who knows how many nights away it's been now. But all of those nights away were preceded by a trip.
Mm.
Almost always in a van, occasionally in a plane, but almost always in a van or a bus. Hours and hours spent, you know, and I love the memories of sitting in that front seat, driving that thing with the student next to me who's maybe in eighth grade and their voice hasn't changed yet and it's cracking and they're farting because they've been eating whatever and we're laughing and sharing memories and, you know, and then I know them years later as an adult and I think, oh, I remember you when you were doing this, you know? And it's just, it blows my mind that we get to be a part of that whole journey with them.
The very first missions trip I ever took students on.
Yeah, you told me about this.
1992.
This is the worst thing ever.
11 students and 2 leaders, and we're going to go to Mexico. I'm in Green Bay, Wisconsin at the time. I'm working with YWAM over by Minneapolis, and they're going to bus us down to Mexico.
This is the dumbest idea.
Which I think that's a terrible idea, but it's a bus. We'll make it work. That'll be fine. We get there. We find out no other groups signed up for the trip, so there's only the 13 of us. So to save money, they're going to send us down in a 15-passenger van. So they give us two drivers, the 13 of us. 15 people, 15-passenger van, 42 straight hours, only stopping for fuel.
I don't even know how you did that.
I have a deep appreciation for the 13 people in that van. I remember the van driver's names.
The 13 people, may they rest in peace.
Mike and Wes were the two guys that drove the van. I don't know them. I've never talked to them since, but I remember their names because we shared 42 hours straight.
I can't imagine what it smelled like in there.
I can't believe I ever took a mission trip
again. Did you guys shower on the way?
No.
No, straight.
What? 42 straight hours. All we stopped for was fuel. Fuel. That is all. We didn't stop and sleep. We didn't stop and do anything. Straight. Brutal.
Oh my gosh.
I live to tell the tale.
You do?
Yep.
Crazy.
Sat next to Ross Venata and Troy Meisner and Gretchen Voskal and Elizabeth Leash. I mean, I can. Awesome. It brings me back. I mean, just thinking about it, yeah.
The memories of those road trips.
But there were smells.
They'll carry you the
rest of your life. There were smells in that van.
There were.
I don't want to remember.
Definitely. There were definitely some 7-Eleven hot dogs along the way.
Yes, exactly.
All right. What's next?
Garbage dump.
Garbage dump. Tell me
about it. Just garbage. Just garbage. I mean, you know what it's like to drive. You drive past the garbage truck that's rolling around the neighborhood, and just for a hot minute, you're just like overwhelmed with this like, what is even happening here? You drive by the local dump. You know, quite often, especially on mission, I mean, I'm thinking specifically mission trip here.
Yeah.
You know, there's been so many occasions when I've taken students to developing countries or third world countries where you are is basically a garbage dump. Or the way that they keep their city is it just is all in the street. So that smell is consistent day by day, no matter where you are, where you're going. There's that smell in the air of garbage, and it's terrible.
It is.
I mean, there are a lot of not so great smells in the world that I'm just not a big fan of, but I don't think anything tops having to follow a garbage truck up the road for a half mile, because it's just every smell in the world that you don't want in one. It's just bad. But yet, I mean, to this day, when I smell that, the first thing I think about is kids sacrificing, kids serving, kids loving, kids having their lives transformed, their worldviews busted wide open. And so as terrible as it is, it's beautiful.
We went to Athens a few years ago, and the city garbage workers were on strike.
Oh, boy. That doesn't sound like a good plan.
Yeah, it's not a good plan. And the streets are tight, and everybody puts their garbage out on the curb. And after about the fourth day, it was piled up right outside where we were staying. And I just remember thinking, I can't imagine living in a place where that happens. Like, what if they never come back to work? What would happen? It would be chaos. It would be mayhem. Garbage, you know, there would be just disease and rats and all kinds of terrible things. And just appreciating how blessed we've been to, you know, live in a place where that doesn't happen.
Put the garbage out, it goes away.
So be able to take our students into that environment, like you said, it rocks their worldview. It changes the way they consider the poor and maybe consider the mission of their own life.
Right.
To try to alleviate some pain and suffering in the world and make a difference in the world. What is better than smelling that if that leads to transformation in the lives of some of our kids?
Man, so a terrible smell to a beautiful thing.
All right, we got two left.
Two left. Food.
Food.
What are some of your favorite food smells? Like for you, personally, not ministry related, when you walk in the house and you go, oh, it's that.
The smell of my mom's spaghetti sauce.
Really?
Used to just soak the whole house in that beautiful smell. We're not even Italian, but she just made spaghetti and it would just smell so good. My wife's cookies, peanut butter cookies, maybe sugar cookies.
Yep,
those are some good smells.
To me, bread.
Oh,
I'm not even a ginormous fan. I bought a bread maker once. Yeah. We were gonna make bread
those
all the time,
are great.
And I didn't like the bread it made. I'd rather buy split butter top from Giant. But sometimes we'd make bread
just so the house smelled like baking bread.
Right. Well, they say you're supposed to do that if you're selling your house. Right?
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Put a loaf of bread in the oven.
One of my favorite smells, rotisserie chicken.
Mm, okay.
You know, just that that charcoal-y, I don't know. It's just something about it. I don't hate rotisserie chicken, but I don't love it. It's not one of my favorite foods.
It's the smell.
But it's the smell.
Coffee. You like the smell of coffee? Oh, I love the smell of coffee when you are waking up and it's a cold morning and you just smell that percolating beauty coming out of the pot. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
So good. So the smell of food, how does it relate to youth ministry?
Well, the smell of food is, to me, we have a lot of food in student ministry. And yes, there's lots of pizza and there's lots of 7-Eleven.
The smell of
taquitos.
Pizza Hut pizza.
Yeah. I mean, there. I could tell you if it's Domino's or Papa John's based on smell alone. And I'm not proud of that fact. However,
that's so true.
When you smell food, aside from like, I like that food, I don't like that food, to me, it brings me back to shared time together with people. Youth leader dinners, appreciation dinners, you know, pizza parties with the students.
Yeah.
It just, when you smell food, I picture sitting around a table laughing with people that I love.
I have this great picture in my head of a youth leader Christmas party we had a few years ago. We actually took them to a concert and then we went to Buca di Beppa afterwards.
Ooh, big Italian place.
Yeah, big Italian place, sitting around this big table at Buca di Beppa. And you know, that place just smells so good.
Ugh.
And just enjoying the company of these dear friends who have invested such a great amount of their time and their life into the teenagers in our youth ministry. It represents so much to me. That's such a warm, beautiful, wholehearted smell.
Yeah.
I just love that.
Yeah. Yeah. We have an event that is one of my favorites of the year, and we always have chili at it.
Mm.
And so to walk in and have that like overwhelming smell of chili cooking just invites me into what I already know is going to be an incredible evening of just like laughter and good conversations and time with people I love.
We had some good food up at our youth leader gatherings, didn't we?
Ooh, yeah, we did.
And we went to the Deep Creek Lake House a couple times and had a bunch of our buddies together. And
everyone cooks their kind of like their specialty and ooh.
The house fills with the smell.
Of good stuff.
Good fun, good friends, good food,
yes.
Good stuff. We got one more.
One more. And it's my favorite.
It's my favorite too.
It's the smell of a campfire.
Isn't that the best?
Oh, I used to say when I was younger, boy, if you could bottle that smell into a cologne, I would wear it. Like just, you know, the smoky, you know, I don't think other people would enjoy that, but I think I would wear it as a cologne.
I think I would too.
Yeah. I love taking a hoodie off after sitting around the campfire and just like, just having that smell. Like, I should wash this, but I don't want to wash this because it smells like campfire.
And you wake up the next morning, you can smell it on your clothes and on your hair.
Oh,
I love that.
So good.
I love that.
Why is that such a beautiful... I mean, I know it's a good, beautiful smell. It's better than a garbage dump or the bathroom at camp. But what does it represent?
I think flame has a magical power to create vulnerability. And so we sit around a campfire with a bunch of kids... And the conversation starts. And people just open up in a way that they don't in the broad daylight, you know? Because they're not looking at you. They're looking at the flames dancing. And there's something that happens in those moments where kids just become super vulnerable. And it's so precious.
Yeah. More so today than when you and I started in youth ministry, to me it also represents this incredible opportunity because it's students are outside.
Mm.
Students are disconnected from their devices.
Yes.
From the staleness of a classroom or their room watching Netflix. Mm-hmm. Like they're outside. They're experiencing God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
And so whether you're camping or whether you're in the backyard of your church or you're somebody's house, you're outside.
Yeah.
And to me, that's just like a huge win. And so there's like this peace that comes over me when I smell a campfire because I feel like we're just pushing people to maybe our more core being, who we were created
to
be.
A more primal state of being, which is so healthy.
So very cool.
We don't get to do it enough, man.
No, we should have more bonfires.
We just had our student leadership team retreat, which we do at the beginning of, right before school kicks off. And part of that now has become a campfire. And it's just so great. It's so great because it's a cool late summer evening.
Yeah.
And the kids have already been together all day, so there's already some relationship there. And everybody's well fed.
You bring in the magical fire that brings vulnerability.
Yes.
Because I totally agree with you on that.
And the guitar comes out.
Oh boy, then it gets crazy. Yeah.
And then kids just start to share. And the tears start to flow, in me at least.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's an amazing moment. It's represented by that smell.
Absolutely. I think we should reorientate our entire youth ministry schedules to just do retreats, missions trips, bonfires, and meals together. And let's just call it a day.
That would work.
I think it would be phenomenal.
Youth ministry by smell.
By smell.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
There's a couple on here I'd like to take off the table. No, because they represent good things. Let's leave them on the table.
They're all worthwhile.
Absolutely. And so there are the smells that we came up with for today. I'm sure there are more that we missed. We would love it if you'd jump on our Instagram or our Facebook and just tell us about a smell that we missed or a smell that represents something significant for you. Let's keep that conversation going.
So the next time you're in the church, fan, and you just stopped at Burger King and somebody ate like 25 Burger King chicken nuggets.
Mm.
And those chicken nuggets have made their way into the lower digestive tract and are now making their way out in a vaporized form.
In the van.
And people are just dying. They're falling over. They're passing out. They are just, becoming incoherent.
Things are falling apart.
Yes. Stop in the moment and thank God for the moment that you're in, the chance you have to smell this beautiful thing, because it represents so much more than you could ever put into words.
And then plan to start a campfire when you get there to, like, you know, go the other direction.
Right. Well, you won't even need matches.
No, you won't. Just be careful when you start that fire.
All right. Well, this has been episode 59 of the Youth Ministry Sherpas podcast, The Smells of Youth Ministry. Enjoy them. Survive them, celebrate them. They're all beautiful. They lead to beautiful things. We'll be back next time with episode 60.
That's not true. No? We will be back next week with a special edition of the Youth Ministry Sherpas, because next week is a Sherpa Legend Week.
Okay.
So we're releasing an episode next Thursday. Stay tuned for that. We'll have a little preview on Tuesday. We'll give you a little teaser, but you will definitely want to tune in for this interview. It was a phenomenal.
It's good stuff, man.
Incredible stuff. So until then,
Sherpas out.